Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bibles. We're going to start reading with verse 32 and read down through the end of the chapter. We've been looking at the topic, the just shall live by faith. We look back at Habakkuk in the Old Testament and Romans and Galatians. And now the last of the four places that this phrase is used in the Bible is here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 32. The writer says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry, but the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather on this Sunday morning. Thank you for each one who is here, for the beautiful music. And Lord, we pray now that you would quiet our hearts and minds from the busyness of this week and even of this day. And Lord, help us to be attentive to your word in these moments we have together. Lord, that you'd use it for your honor and glory. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's said that Martin Luther, the reformer, saw these words and read these words in the book of Romans over and over, and he looked at his life and he looked at the religion he was in and saw he was in a religion of works, and that only by faith could he have acceptance before God. Only by faith could he live a life that was pleasing to God. He, of course, tacked his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg and began the fires of Reformation that spread across Europe in that time. The just shall live by faith. We take a little different perspective. We looked in Habakkuk that we were to live by faith in the face of overwhelming opposition. Last week we looked at living by faith as compared by living according to the law, our life as a Christian. But here we live by faith as we take some different looks, or we look at different things. First, the writer of Hebrews here in verse 32 through and 33 tells us we live by faith as we look at the past. As we look at the past. I like to reminisce sometimes. It's good to get with friends that you've known for years and years and just sit and talk and reminisce about all the good things that God has done for you. I enjoy that so much. You say, "Remember when?" And then they say, "Well, remember when?" And they call something to your mind that you've put in a back closet someplace and you haven't brought it out for a long time. But, oh, what a great memory. But here we find that looking at the past is not so much of a pleasant thing. For he says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated," he says, remember the times past that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The time that you understood that you were a sinner, you were lost and bound for a Christless eternity, but the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. You yielded yourself to God. You asked God to forgive your sins and save you and make you ready for heaven. You remember that? But remember what happened after that. He endured a great fight of afflictions. Partially while you made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. Look at the past. We live in a day here in North America where we don't understand the persecutions that Christians down through the ages have gone through. Some of you may have read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. A book that details in the early church and up through the Middle Ages those that suffered persecution for the cause of Christ. Those that were offered relief from persecution and torture if they only would renounce the cause of Christ, but did not. Even in our day, the United States, a gunman broke into a community college. He lined up people and asked them, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" If they said yes, he shot them dead in the United States. And one after another, the testimony of those that were there, who were not Christians, said the Christians, one after another, in the face of a gun, said, "Yes, I'm trusting Jesus Christ," and died for Christ there in that place. I can't begin to comprehend that. I would hope that in the face of that situation, I would have the courage of my convictions that I say I have, and I would say, "Yes, I'm trusting Jesus Christ," knowing in a moment I would meet him. Persecution was rampant in the early church. Persecution from fellow Jewish people, persecution from the Romans, persecution from the idolatrous worshipers of the day. And so the writer says that he called to remembrance the days, the former days in which, after you were illuminated or saved, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Do you remember that? He's writing to Jewish people, the Hebrews, who are scattered abroad. Some say that the Hebrews he's writing to were in Rome. Some say it was in Jerusalem. We don't know for sure because the book doesn't tell us exactly who this letter was addressed to. But nevertheless, we understand that these people endured a great fight of affliction. But you know, we have to remember the past, but not to live there. Not to live in the past. It's sad to me sometimes when I hear people say, "Well, you know what? I would go to that church, but 30 years ago, somebody said something mean to me, and so I haven't been back." How sad. How sad. Say, "Well, you know, I was saved, but Christians ignored me, and so I've just quit on God." How sad. But here we see he says, remember when you were saved, but remember that indeed you stood the test. There was a great fight of affliction. You were made a gazing stock. That's an interesting word. That's the word we get our word theater from today. You were as an actor. You were set on a stage that people watched you critically, as though you were an actor in a play. I've done a few plays in my time. I did one time, I was Nero in this play, The Centurion. And I really hammed it up. I won't tell you, I got to sing. I won't sing for you the song that I sang. But everybody looked at me and they said, "That's not the Pastor Homan I know. I was an actor. I was playing a part." People sometimes look at us like we're playing a part in a play. That we're a gazing stock. That it's something that's interesting to watch. Something fun to watch. But it's not real for me. It may be for you there on the stage, but it's not real for me. But in the past, think about this. In spite of the persecutions, in spite of being made a gazing stock, notice what he says in the end of verse 33. He says, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. In the midst of all that, you made right choices. You see, life is made up of choices. A friend of mine used to say, things will be different tomorrow because of decisions you make today. We make choices. We make choices. We go out here and we decide, are we going to turn left out of the driveway or right out of the driveway? You can go either way and get down to Topsail Road. It's a choice. Life is made of choices. I'm glad you chose this morning to come out and to be out at church today. I'm glad you made that choice. Choices are the stuff of life. But you became companions of them that were so used. The book of Proverbs says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's a saying that something like that, you become like those that you run with. If we make companions of individuals who want to serve God, who want to follow God, who want to do right, then we are going to sharpen them and they are going to sharpen us, so we'll each be better equipped to serve God. But if we make companions, of Proverbs says, of fools, or we make companions of individuals who want to gripe and complain, we make companions of people who say, well, I don't know if the Bible really says that or not, you know, then you know what? We're going to struggle. But the writer of Hebrew, writing to the Hebrew people, tell them that, yes, there was a great trial of affliction, a fight of affliction. Yes, you were made a gazing stock. Yes, you were reproached. But looking back, you made the right choice. Looking back. Do you know, I wonder, and should the Lord tarry his coming in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 40 years? Because, my, they fly by, don't they? Well, we look back and say, you know what? In 2016, I made some right choices. In 2016, I made some decisions that pleased God. In 2016, I made some decisions that made a difference in my life, that changed the course of my life. I wonder what it'll be like when we look to the past. But you know, the future is built on what decisions we make today. Live by faith as you look at the past. Live by faith, secondly, as you look to the future. From verse 34 down through verse 37, the writer says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. The writer obviously was imprisoned someplace. And he writes to the Hebrew people and he said, you joyfully spoiled your goods. Now, that doesn't mean like something spoiling because it's been too long in the refrigerator, but some you took away from what you possessed, that you might send it to me, that my affliction might be a little bit lighter. Why? He says, because you know in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. You see, the things of this life are temporary. The things of this life are not sure. Again, I was at the auction yesterday, and the auctioneer said, we have something special that was not on the bill today. He said, we got a dresser from storage unit that we bought. In the bottom drawer of the dresser, we found this. And he pulled out a piece, a tenth of an ounce of gold. He said, we're going to auction that off. And he auctioned it off, and I think whoever bought it paid too much for it. But the point is, you know, that individual had that little tenth ounce of gold that they kept in their dresser, and they kept, and They thought that they were keeping it safe and they were hoarding it. But they left it there when they put things in storage. Didn't pay their storage bill and stuff was auctioned off. You see, things here are temporary. Things here, and let me say this, folks, there's nothing wrong with having things in this life. But there's something wrong in this life if things have us. Because we have in heaven a more enduring substance. We have in heaven things that will not fade away, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. We have in heaven, it's reserved. You know, we can live by faith because we look that heaven is our eternal home. This is just here for a little while. And as we look towards heaven, we have there reserved for us substance, things. And folks, I honestly believe, according to the Word of God, that we have things in heaven we have not yet begun to comprehend that even exist for us. Verse 35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, might receive the promise. Confidence. Confidence that serving God today produces great rewards in the future. Serving God today. You know, today we probably are not going to see great rewards. Again, we talked in Sunday school about personal encounters and dealing with people and how people will sometimes ask us questions to try to stump us, or sometimes people ask honest questions. And we don't get a lot of reward in this life for being a consistent witness. People don't come and pat us on the back. But there is a reward in heaven that's reserved for us. Look at verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Yet a little while. Patience. Patience today produces the promise tomorrow. Patience today. Now, I've told you before, I am not very patient. I don't like to stand in line. I don't like to wait. I start going from one foot to the other and put my hands in my pocket and taking my hands back out of my pocket. But the Bible tells we are to be patient today. And what does it mean? It means that we don't expect and demand that we are rewarded immediately for serving God. We live in a day when that seems to be the theme of society. We have to have instant gratification, instant rewards. But the Bible tells us that we as Christians need to be patient. 2 Peter 3, verse 13 says, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Eternal life. You see, we have exceeding great and precious promises. We have an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. But we live by faith today. We live by faith. We cannot see the rewards in heaven. We can't see what's laid up in store for us in heaven. But we walk by faith, we live by faith day by day, knowing that the Word of God is true, knowing that God does not lie, knowing that down through the halls of history that people of faith have looked for that great reward reserved for them in heaven. Often we use that phrase when talk about when someone dies, they've gone to their reward. We live by faith as we look to the past. We live by faith as we look to the future. But we live by faith as well as we look to our salvation. Look at verse 38 with me again. begins with a phrase that we're keen on, but the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We see a couple of things here. First of all, we see the contrast. Living by faith compared to drawing back. Living by faith compared to drawing back. See, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We've been justified through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are now are commanded to live by faith. Faith what? Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Faith in his promises day by day. Faith looking to the future. Faith in the midst of trouble. We're to live by faith. But there's some folks that are religious folks, but not saved folks. And because they don't have the foundation of living by faith, when the trials come and they will, and the problems come and they will, they step back and say, well, I'm not sure about this religious thing after all. The contrast of living by faith or drawing back. And the second in these verses, we see the confidence. The writer of Hebrews says, but we are not of them. He's writing to save people. And we could do a lot of discussion here about the grammar here, that he changes the pronoun. We are not of them. Two different people. The saved and the lost. We are not of them. That we have this confidence. We live by faith. We are not of them. In verse 39. And then the conclusion there, that our salvation is secure. Look at the end of verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He says there are two groups of people. A religious crowd who, when the trials come, will draw back, and individuals... The writer says we, individuals who are saved, who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who are walking by faith. He said, we are not of them. He says, we are not of them. Notice what he says at the end, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, folks, if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we cannot lose our salvation. They believe unto the saving of the soul. You see, all of our sins were paid for and forgiven at the cross. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You see, if the cross, all of my sins, my past sins, my present sins, my future sins were all forgiven at the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for all sin, for all men, for all time. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that payment was put to my account. My sins were all forgiven. I cannot do anything to take away that payment. I cannot do anything. Why? Because it's in the hands of God. Go to John chapter 10 in your Bibles. I'm sure that many of you have heard these verses before in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. We start with verse 27. John 10, 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice the threefold security there. Christ says first, I give them eternal life. Secondly, they will never perish. Third, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then we have assurance upon assurance, because look at verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now think about that word. He's greater than all. He is greater than you. He is greater than me. He is greater than all. And the scripture says there in verse 29, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, our salvation is secure because Jesus Christ paid the debt. The debt was put to our account. That Christ says we have right now. It's not something that we'll get when we die, but we have right now. We possess, if we've trusted Jesus Christ, we possess eternal life. And we will never perish. It doesn't say there's a condition there. But we will never perish, and we're in Jesus Christ's hand. And he says, "No man, neither shall a man pluck them out of my hand." You think you're stronger than Jesus Christ? You think you have more authority than Jesus Christ? He says, well, let's put a compound on that. And my hand is in my Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one. No one. You know, God has said he cannot remember our sins. When we trust Jesus Christ, our Savior, they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I've forgotten them. We have, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Notice what it says, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven. Why? Our salvation is so secure that God has in a lockbox, if you will, in heaven, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and it's there, it's reserved for us to one day collect. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's go back there to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 2 and starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. This is a verse I want to consider. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But look with me, if you will, at verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me just explain that just a little bit. The language that they wrote, the Greek language they wrote in, has a past, a present, and a future, just like we have in our English language. But this doesn't say that he will raise us up together and will make us sit together in heavenly places. But if you look, this is written is a present indicative active. It's the present. It says that God, in his mind, our salvation is so complete that he has already raised us up together. Mm-hmm. He has already seated us in heaven. Mm-hmm. That in God's mind, our salvation is so complete, we're already seated in heaven with him. We have a place reserved for us. Why? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do we look at? Live by faith. Remember the past. You've made it this far. God will not fail you. Look at the future. Heaven is secure for you. And third, trust in your salvation. It's in God's hand. It's not in yours. Your salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?